Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
We're in a brand new series. I want to kind of jump in because I want to get as much time as I can. We're in a brand new series called Get in the Game. And we started last week, so if you missed last week, you can always get on the podcast. Go to oursaviorschurch.com, Opelousas, Messages, and you can hear last week's message. And then, of course, we're using kind of a football theme because it's football season. Can I get a good amen from this congregation? And tonight just happens to be a very big game. Let's go ahead and get it out in the open. I've seen some Dallas Cowboy jerseys around here. Can we just get one, on count of three, can I just get a big hoot at one, two, three? Oh, yeah. Here they come, walking up in the house wearing their stars. Oh, there we go. Thank you, love. And so we got a big game tonight. Heidi and I had the opportunity. I am a homer. I told you that. So just can y'all just divulge here because I get the mic. So I promise you this will be hoot at pro. We got to go to a game, the first Monday night game that was with the big kick, the 58-yard, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about, that 58-yard field goal with 2 seconds left. And Drew Brees, you know, we got a hookup. How many of you appreciate when you get the hookup? Yeah. So we got a hookup. We tried to get some tickets, and we couldn't. My brother-in-law and my sister were here from California. He had a contact. I don't know how they do this, but he has a contact with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the Los Angeles Dodgers calls the New Orleans Saints, and the New Orleans Saints was, hey, we'll do a little swap with you. Maybe we'll put them up and give them some seats if in the playoffs when the Dodgers, then you got to give us some tickets. And so they made a swap. So we didn't just go sit up in the nosebleed. We got one of them suites. Oh, yeah, come on. Don't hate. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice. So, of course, we knew we was going into suites, right? So, and they would say, you know, come, you can eat and drink and, you know, drink. And Heidi, I had to carry her out of there. But anyway, no, I'm teasing. We don't drink. So I drank Coke. She drank water. And so we were there. We had a good time. So anyway, I got this video. We were at the game, and I got this little video. Heidi showed the girls, but I thought I'd show all of you. This is right as we're getting ready for the last field goal. I just want to show you what it looked like. Here you go.
Come on, baby. You got this. Come on.
We saw this on Instagram too. I thought this was cool. I thought this was cute. Here, this is how every Saints fan ought to be today. Right here. If you don't do this to yourself for 6 weeks, you're not a Saints fan. If Drew is thumbless, I'm thumbless too. Amen. Come on, give it up for Drew Brees. We love him. That's a real man. And so we got a big game tonight, and I want to talk to you because I think football is a metaphor for a lot of life. So we're using football as a metaphor for church, and I want to talk to you about something. I want to call it just heart. I don't know if sports, if you played sports, there was always that guy on the team that may not have been quite as gifted, quite as talented as everybody else, but the brother or sister had heart. And I want to talk to you about heart. When I think of heart, I think of a walk-on. And that's not a place to eat, by the way. A walk-on is one of those high schoolers that didn't get the offer but wants to play at a particular college, and they walk on. That means they try out. And if they're good enough, then they've got the right heart. They get put on a team. And I'm thinking of our very own, Our Savior's Church, one of our young men. named Christopher Laborde, played for Tommy Badonnet, WCA. Christopher had a lifelong dream to be an LSU Tiger and walked on. Got a preferred tryout with Les Miles, and they ended up letting him be a part of the team. And if you're a walk-on, you're not going to see the field. You're going to be there. You're really there to be the practice dummy for the first team. They practice against you. And he was a wide receiver. In fact, he played and was on, played with, let me tell you some of his wide receiver mates. You might have heard of them. Odell Beckham Jr. Jarvis Landry was his teammate. In fact, he was the only white boy that was on the receiving corps, the receiving team, and they gave him a nickname. I don't even think Odell knows his name. They just called him Snowflake from the beginning, and that was his name. And I read an article about in his last year, he walked in, Coach Miles called him into his office, and he had no idea why he was coming into his office. And he walked into his office, and he sat him down and said, thank you for your passion. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for your perseverance in setting the tone, the heartbeat of this team. And he slid over an envelope, and inside of that was a scholarship for his senior year, that he was now a scholarship player. Heart. Everybody say heart. And I want to talk to you today about heart. Now listen, you're going to think I'm talking about a different subject. You're going to think I'm talking to you about money, but I'm not talking to you about money. I'm talking to you about heart. Let me say it again. You're going to think I'm talking to you about money, but you're going to miss it. I'm not talking to you about money. I'm going to talk to you about heart. Did you know that the Bible says that you can tell your heart where you want it to go? It got real quiet in here all of a sudden. I don't know why. In fact, I want to talk to you about heart and where do you want your heart to go? Some people have said, Pastor, I'm not sure where my heart is. And I know a way to find out where your heart is. It's real simple. In fact, if you just give me 10 minutes and let me go through your purse and take out your checkbook and look where you sent your money. If you would let me look at your money, I will tell you where your heart is. Because the Bible says, in fact, let me show you what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. In fact, let's read it together. Look right here. It says, where your money is, there your heart will be also. So let me say it again. Let me tell you what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about heart. Where do you want your heart? I'm praying that the Lord would give us about 3,000 or 4,000 walk-ons with the passion, the commitment, the heart, the sacrifice, and the perseverance to see the kingdom advance for God to win in St. Landry Parish. It's going to take some people with some heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you have the heart? And so I want to talk to you about where you can get your heart, how you can be committed. In fact, again, the scripture doesn't say, where your heart is, where your treasure will be. It says just the opposite, which means you can tell your heart where you want it to go. How many of you believe that the mission of the church is the primary mission of what we need to be doing for the rest of our days for the kingdom of God to advance in St. Landry Parish? I know you were going to say amen. That's what you're supposed to say. But do you really have that heart? And so I want to just show you some things today. I want you to see the connection between treasure and heart. Don't walk out of here and say, Pastor Yu today was preaching about money. You're going to miss it. Pastor Yu today was preaching about where's my heart. And I want to show you what the scripture says. Now, in order to do that, and by the way, in the back, I'm going to skip one verse. I'm going to go down to Genesis chapter 1 in just a moment. I want to show you how God set up the economy. It was him who did it. God set up an economy and the way it should work. And in order for us to understand it, I got to go and take you all the way back to the beginning. so that you'll understand God. In fact, I don't want you to get a bad taste in your mouth of what you think God is like when he's really not like that. So I want to show you all the way back. So let's take a little journey to here with me through the scripture. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse number 27. And it says this: So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Of course, we know who those people were. They had names. Anybody remember their names? Adam and Eve. That's right. Adam and Eve, he created them. And watch verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it." And then this is free, by the way. This is for all our fishermen and women, fisherwomen's, and hunters in the audience. "Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So husbands, if you are a hunter or a fisherman, next time you're going out fishing and your wife says, "You're going again," you can say, "Baby, I got to do what the word says. I'm just obeying the Lord. Should I obey you or should I obey God?" Try that at home. Then duck after you do it. I want to take you back to verse 28 again, if I can take you to the top. Watch this. I want you to see this. So God creates them. Watch this. This is important. God creates them. Verse 28. Can y'all put that back? Genesis 1:28. God creates them in verse 27. And verse 28, he blesses them. I want you to make sure you see this. God doesn't wait until they're fruitful and multiply and doing what he says to bless them. He blesses them before they ever deserve it or they ever earn it. I think we just sang about it, didn't it? He just says, "I'm just going to go ahead and bless them." What did they do to get blessing? Nothing. I just created them. There they are. They're just being Adam and Eve. "Hey, what's up?" No, bless. I bless you. I bless you. What does that mean to bless them? And I would say to you, it means this, that he blessed them with an ability. He gave them a gift. How many of you have ever been blessed by somebody? It's almost awkward, right? Somebody just says, "I was thinking about you and I gave this to you." And they give you a gift and you go, "Well, what did I do to deserve it?" And they just say, "No, I just wanted to bless you." And that's what God did. He just blessed them. Just when we moved here 18 years ago, we moved from Houston. We sold everything we could sell, sold a car. We had two cars, and we only brought one car here. One of our first few days here that we were here, Pastor Jacob, my new boss, calls me and says, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm getting ready. I'll be ready in about 10 minutes. He said, "Great, I'll pick you up in front of your house." I said, "Great, where are we going?" "Just be out there in 10 minutes, which is not uncommon for Pastor Jacob. He just kind of shows up. Like the Holy Spirit, just pops up places. And God. And he picks me up and he takes me to Giles Automotive in Lafayette. Pulls up. I meet Mr. Giles. I still don't know why we're there. And he walks out and Mr. Giles says, "Well, here's the cars right here." And there's a row of cars. And he says, "You can pick out whatever color you want." They were all the same. They were little bitty compact cars. Some of you may remember. They don't even make them anymore. That's how great they were. They're brand new, though. It was a brand new car. It was called a Daewoo. Anybody ever have a Daewoo? Yeah, it was basically a Coke can with wheels. That's basically what it was. But it was new. And they said, "You can have whichever one you want." I was like, what? "Pastor, just pick one. Which one do you want?" And there was blue ones and red ones and white ones and black ones. And then at the very end, there was one gold one. It was gold. Like, who dat gold? And I just said, "Well, I came to Lafayette looking for God and found gold." How many of you know that? Sometimes if you look for gold, you'll never find God. But if you find God, you'll find gold too. And I just said, I want the gold one. I want the gold one. They said, "It's yours. Here's the keys. It's yours. Take it." And I said, what's this for? And they just said, we just want to bless you. What do you think that caused my heart to do? It motivated me to go to work, to be fruitful, and to multiply. God gave you a gift so that you can be fruitful and you can multiply. You have a gift. In fact, the way God created the earth was whatever your gift is, there is a monetary value to your gift, which means people will pay you to do what you are already gifted to do. I'm so amazed at men that in our congregation that can work with their hands, because I don't have that gift. I'm not good at it. I know y'all think I'm a diva, but I'm just not good at it, right? I mean, if I change a light bulb, I mean, I'm doing three different ways to figure out which way it goes. Some of you will get that later. Three different ways to figure out which way it goes. Okay, all right, never mind. So God gave you a gift. If you can build things with your hands, that's a gift, and the people will give you dollars. God gave you that. He blessed you with a gift so you can produce and multiply. Are y'all tracking? This is the way God set it up. We go, Pastor, what's your gift? My gift is I can talk. I can talk. And so God said, then use your gift. Use your gift to multiply. And if you'll use your gift, I bless you with the gift. Now use your gift. Here's what you have to remember. So if God gave you the gift, then you're not really responsible. It ain't you. I met a little girl in fourth grade this morning, fourth grade. She's a fourth grader. And I said, girl, you going? I go, how's school going? She goes, it's going good. It's easy. It's easy. And her mom was going, that's what she said, it's easy. I said, it's easy? Fourth grade is easy? Oh, yeah, it's easy. And I said, well, girl, let me tell you something. If you're going to be a doctor, and she goes, that's what I want to be. I want to be a doctor. And I said, then God gave you an intellect, which is a gift from God to grasp very difficult things. And it's only going to get harder, but you got to make really good grades. God gave you the gift. You got to make really good grades so that you can one day be a doctor and be fruitful with being a doctor, because that God gave you that gift. Are y'all tracking with me so far? It's the way God set it up. You have a gift. And he blessed you with it before you did anything to deserve it. That's why we call it grace. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And he just blessed you with this gift so you can produce. Now watch what happens, because we're going to go a little bit further. I'm just showing you how it works. And so watch what happens. And so in Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. And then he's going to go on and say, and I want you to dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. What is he saying? I'm going to give you the ability to produce. And when you do produce, I want you to take the first of what you produce and I want you to give it back to me. Wait a minute. Who gave you the blessing in the beginning? God. And so when you start to produce, then I want you to take what you've produced with the gift that I gave you. I want you to take the first of it, the portion of it, and I want you to give it back to me. Are y'all tracking with me? You go, well, it's mine. No, it never was yours. It was always God who gave you the ability. And then when you did produce, then all he's going to say is, I want you to give me just a portion of it. I want you to give it back to me. The firstborn. In fact, he goes on in saying Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Watch what happens. Honor the Lord with your wealth, which is the first fruits. There's that word again. The first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns, watch what he said, your barns are going to be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. He blesses you to produce. He gave you a gift. He blessed you to produce. And all of a sudden that begins to create. There's a monetary value to it. You receive income for what that happens. And I said, all I want you to do is take the first portion of that and then I want you to give that back to me. And so that's how he created this economy to work. Now watch what happens, though, when you do it. So what did you do to deserve the first one? Nothing. And then you produce. And then he says, now give me the first back. And you give it back to him. There's something that now you're going, that's part of our gratitude. To say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Watch what happens though. Because it continues on. Watch what he says. Let me take you to the book of Luke chapter 16, verse number 11 and 12. So if you've not been, remember if it's in yellow, you help me. If I pause, you say it. So you have not been what? So if you have not been trustworthy with handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And I don't know, I'm talking to people in the room. There's some of you here who own businesses and you're the boss. And then there's some that you work for somebody else. I work for someone else. I work with someone else. And Pastor Jacob, he's the big boss. We call him the Brown Bishop. That's what we call him. So I work with him. And so, in fact, let me tell you my mandate from Jesus when I came here. Serve me. This is Jesus talking. Serve Jesus. Help Jacob. And that's what we've been doing. Serving Jesus and helping Jacob. The reason why you're seeing what's happened in Opelousas is because Heidi and I have been found trustworthy with something that doesn't belong to us. In fact, if you're working for somebody else, let me tell you how you're going to get a better job. You go, I want a better job. I don't like my job. I want a better job. God doesn't promote people out of their frustration. God promotes them out of their fruitfulness. You want a better boss?
Yeah, I do.
Be more fruitful. If you want a better boss, then you'll promote. One day that boss may be working for you. Just be fruitful with what you do have. Make sure you do. The Bible says to do your work as unto the Lord. You're really working for him because he gave you the gift in the beginning. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a condition of your heart. It's quiet up in here. Look what Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 and 12 says. Should people cheat God? Answer, no, of course not. They should never cheat God. And then God tells Israel, you have cheated me. Look what Israel was doing. You ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you, God? And he said, you've cheated me of the tithes, first fruit. Tithe simply means a tenth. The number 10 means the number of testing. Watch what happens. You cheated me out of tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a, now listen to me, everybody look right here. Does that mean God says, oh, you didn't pay your tithe, you're cursed? That's not what that means. God's not going to curse you. What it does mean is the consequences of not places you under the repercussions of that. I like to say it this way. If blessed means the wind's at your back, then cursed means the wind's at your face. It means it's against you, which means you keep striving, and we ain't getting ahead. I don't know what's going to happen. How come everything we're doing, how come it's hard? It's always hard. It's always a financial thing. It's always a financial thing. And you just keep rolling, and you're going, I don't know what the deal is. We do it, everything we know how to do, and you just keep rolling, and you feel like you're always, the wind is at your face, and you're going, that's what it means to be cursed. He's saying, no, you've just removed God's blessing off of you. And so now you're functioning without the wind at your back. Are y'all tracking with me? Here's what Pastor Jacob always says. Listen, everybody pays their tithes. You just got to figure out where you're going to pay them. You're either going to give them to God, or you're going to give them to the mechanic. You're going to give them to the doctor. You're going to give it to the... Everybody pays it. And so he's letting us know, in fact, look what he goes on to say. Bring all your tithes into storehouse, the storehouse. And then he goes on to say, so there'll be enough food in my temple. what is the storehouse? Well, the storehouse is the place where you attend church. It's where you go to get fed. It's where you go to grow. It's where you go to learn. It's where you grow to hear the word that hopefully is changing your life little by little. Now, hopefully we're doing a decent job of communicating God's word to you. And he said, that's where it goes. So there'll be food inside of my temple. By the way, thank y'all. Listen, I'm not preaching a message like this because the church needs it. Look at me. We don't need it. We don't need it. No, no, no. It wasn't about need. It's not something from you. We want something for you. I want you to operate under open heaven where the blessings of God are in your life. Are y'all receiving this morning? Please tell me you are with the heart. And I'm going to tell you my story, mine and Heidi's story, in just a moment. So look what he says. And he goes, I'll pour, listen, if you do this, says the Lord, if you'll do it, I'll open the windows of heaven over you. I'm going to pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. And I love this. Say it with me. Try it. Put me to. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? God is saying, test me. Let me put it another word. I dare you. Let me say it another way. I double dog dare you. God is just saying, go ahead, try it. Just see. If you never practiced tithing, I would say to you, God double dog dares you to try it. He said, in fact, this is the only place in Scripture where the Lord says, test me. I know there's two people in the room there's two different people in this room right now. I just know. There's those that hate this message and those who love this message. Look at me. Look at me. The church is doing fine. When we try to share generosity moments where we were able to send $5,000 down to help the flood. We were able to open up the doors for every woman to come to the Arise conference that wanted to. Church is blessed. The church is blessed. I want you to be blessed. I'm just telling you how God set up the economy. I'm going to give you a gift, and that gift will allow you to produce income for your family. And you're going to get that paycheck, and you're going to get it. Go, look, we got our paycheck. It's Friday. How many of y'all love payday? I do. I love it. I was like, what's the day? Payday. What are we doing? We're going to go eat. Where are we going to eat? Sonic. Happy hour. How many of y'all ever stop at happy hour just because it's half price, right? Thank you, Jesus. Anyway. No. So you produce. And then all God says is, now give me back mine. Give me back that portion. You go, Pastor, I can't afford to. I'd say to you, you can't afford not to. I just don't believe you. Well, that's a lot. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Watch what happens. Look what he says. Put me to the test. Watch this. He says, your crops will be abundant. I'll guard them. I'll protect them from the insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall and be cast. They'll stay on the vine. So when you need them, you can go out there and you can get them. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had business deal after business deal that was cast and hit the ground. And you keep going, I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe it's because you're operating without the heavens, windows of heaven open over your life. You got the wind at your face instead of the wind at your back. Thank you. Watch this. Watch what happens. I want to just tell you why Heidi and I give. And if I could take Pastor Eugene, Pastor Yu, if I could take the Pastor Yu hat off for a second and just be Christian, just be follower of Jesus, just be you, instead of Pastor You, if I could just be you for a second, let me tell you why we give. We practice tithing. We've been in ministry for 30 years, 30. and we've only practiced tithing for 25. You go, what happened the first 5 years? It wasn't a priority to us. We didn't have the revelation. We didn't have the understanding. It wasn't that we were stingy. It just wasn't a priority. In other words, we'd come to church and I'd say, we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. And I'd go, baby, did you bring the checkbook? No, I forgot it. Oh, we'll catch up next week. How many of you know you never really catch up? You never catch up. Because something else always cried out for it. It did. And so let me give you five quick reasons real quick. Write these down, if you will. Number one, why we give. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can I get an amen from a giver? You go, well, it is. It's just funner. Don't you just love just to give? It's like, bless people. Hannah's birthday, my second daughter, is 26-year birthdays today. Happy birthday, Hannah, wherever you are. Yeah, it's your birthday. So we had a little party for her Friday night, and she came over, and we wrote her a little card, and her mama wrote a check for her, put a check in there in the card. I didn't see the check. And so when it was her birthday, she opened up and she looked and she goes, oh my word, thank y'all, mom and dad. Ah! And then I'm going, how much was that check? And so while they were over there visiting, I opened up the card and then opened up the check and I went, oh, she balling. I looked over at Heidi and she's like, she's a good girl. Yeah. And she's over hugging. How many of you know the hug was worth the money? Thank you, Dad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just bless, just bless, just bless. How many of you go, bless? We've had the privilege of giving stuff, just giving stuff, blessing, being a blessing where you meet a need. Isn't it cool when you have enough margin in your life that when you see a need, you can be the one who meets the need? Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I love it. And you know what? It also helps us, it keeps us from being takers. Because there's givers in the room and there's takers in the room. And I don't want to be a taker. I want to be a giver. I want to be, that's why we give. We give because we want to be a blessing. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We want to be a part of that. We love it. We always sponsor kids to go to camp. And we just love to give. God wants us to be a giver. Let me give you reason number two. Because God instructs me to give. He instructs me. I don't know about you. But 30 plus, well, 1983, 18, 20, 35, 45, 40 years ago, a long time ago, 36 years ago, I bowed my knee to God. And I said, I want to be yours. And went all in. And he tells me to. And because he's God, and I'm not, I just do what he says. Do what he says. It's totally surrendered. He's instructed me in his word. There have been people who've come and said, Pastor Eugene, about tithing, what do you think about tithing? And we had a man in our church who said, I just don't believe in tithing, and I'd like to talk to you about it. I said, okay. He said, just bring the scripture. He wanted me to open up the Bible. So I get all my verses lined up, and I go meet him for lunch, and we sat down, and I put my Bible there, and we had our little greetings, and I said, well, before we began, why don't you just go ahead and tell me your side? And he said, well, Pastor Yu, I just don't believe in tithing. I believe a man ought to give way more than 10%. And I said, well, then I agree with you. How many of you know that's a good pastor right there, right? Okay, well, praise God, I'm with you. I never opened my Bible once. I said, do what God's called you to do then. That's a good pastor right there. Listen to me. And there have been people go, Pastor, do I tithe on the gross or do I tithe on the net? I never get into those discussions. I always say something silly like, well, it depends if you want a gross blessing or do you want a net blessing. You just decide what you want. I got a call just yesterday. Oh, man, Pastor, I sold my house. Am I supposed to tithe on that? And I just said, you know what? Listen, you just pray about it, but I'll tell you what Heidi and I have done. Just so we don't have to pray. Not that I'm opposed to prayer. We just decided a long time ago, 25 years ago, whatever came into our hands, it was going to go out. We were going to give to God. No matter what comes in. I don't care if it's income tax. Well, I've already retired on that money. I don't care. We just decide. This is us. It's not for you. We just decided whatever comes in is going out. Because we've learned that if we keep the windows of heaven open over our life, God's going to send it all back. Watch this. Number three, it's to position ourselves to be blessed. To put ourselves, when God is looking to bless someone, I want him to think of me. Did you hear that? I want him to think of me. Blessing. Very mindful of the promises of Scripture. Malachi, that I just read you, that it would be, he would protect what we have. He'll protect it and watch over it. That, again, you're going to give it somewhere. Maybe the car runs longer. Maybe the kids don't need the doctor as much. That he's going to, we're going to put ourselves in a position. Look at me. Everybody look right here. I remember the day that I got the revelation. We were in ministry for 5 years. We were not practicing tithers. And God did something. I hated it then, but I love it now. He shut the door. I didn't get a paycheck for 6 months. Now, I don't know if you've ever been six. I don't know if you've got enough savings that you can last 6 months. We didn't. So you know what happens, right? Lights get cut off. We have two babies, two baby girls. I can remember creditors calling. Remember the old answering machines that used to be by your phone? And beep, just leave a message. Yes, this is Chase, loan officer. We are calling about your car payment that is 3 months past due. We're going to have to turn that over to collections. And then have you ever had the collections people calling you? Hey, we're about to come take everything you got. You're like, you never answer the phone. We've been there. Finally, I got a little side job. I made $120. $120. They paid me in cash. I had a $100 bill and a $20 bill. Help me out, Vic. $100 bill and a $20 bill, and I laid it on top of a counter. And I'm going, God, what's the deal? And the Lord spoke to me and said, I've shut up your womb. No, no, it's the devil. No, it was me. You've robbed me. You've cheated me. I've cheated you. I don't want to cheat you, God. You've stopped me from blessing you. I remember looking at that $100 bill and that $20 bill. And I grabbed that $100 and said, God, I get it. Forgive me. This $120, I'm giving the $100, and we're going to keep the $20. We went to church, like the next night, Sunday night. And we were in the, and I had that $100 bill. We didn't have any money. Nothing. And here comes the bucket. I know sometimes y'all hear the Jaws music when the bucket comes, don't you? Like, doo, 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 doo. Praise the Lord, you know. Doo, doo. And I just put that in there. Then a preacher gets up to preach. It wasn't our normal pastor. It was a guest. And he gets up and he goes, the Holy Spirit spoke to me today. There's 30 people in this room. Now, this would never happen at Our Savior's Church unless it was so totally God and Pastor Jacob said it was okay to do it. I would never do this. We're sitting in this room, the guy gets up. This pastor gets up and goes, help me out. This pastor gets up. This is the first time we've ever met him. Gets up and goes, there are 30 people in this room that need to give $1,000. I'm sitting in the back, hiding. I'm going, what? I ain't doing this guy crazy. Ain't no way. This is weird. Like I said, we would never do that in our services, right? Hey, this guy does this. We're sitting back there and going, that is so weird. The Holy Spirit taps on my heart and says, you're one of them. Oh, no, I ain't. I just gave $100 and I got 20 in my pocket because you're one of them. So I knew it was God. I go, okay, all right. I said, Heidi, we're going up there. She goes, we are not going up there. We can't even go to Whataburger after church. I said, baby, we are going up there. The Lord just spoke to me and said, we're supposed to be one of those. And she goes, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in this. I don't know either. I just know God told me to get up there. I don't know what that means either, but we're going up there. We're standing up there. And I grabbed her hand and pulled her. She grabbed the pew like this. I ain't going. You're coming. And I yanked her up there. We stood up there, and he just said, let me pray over y'all. You may not have it, but I'm going to pray God gives it to you. And if God gives it to you, that you'll give it. All right, that's cool. That's fair, right? If God gives it to me, then I'll give it. Okay. I'm still going, Lord, this is weird. He prays, Lord, you provide seed to the sower. Provide the seed for these sowers that walked up here in faith that you'll provide the resources that they need to pay that $1,000. Amen. We all went back down to our seat. I'm still going, this is so weird. After church, we're out in the foyer. That night, a lady comes up to me and goes, I saw y'all up there. Oh, I just appreciate y'all's faith. I go, me too. We only need $980. And she goes, and while you were up there, the Lord spoke to me. She reaches in her purse and she pulls out, I don't know, where, like drug money. It was in a circle with rubber bands all around it. And she said, the Lord told me to give this to you. But you can't act like that, right? You got to be real cool, right? You got to go, praise the Lord. Thank you. Now on the inside, you're going, woo-hoo! But on the outside, thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Thank you. I received that. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Okay, good to see you. We'll see you Sunday. All right. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. She walks out the door. I run to the bathroom. I close the stall door. I get in the stall. I sit on the toilet. I pull that out. I start $100, $200, $300, $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 in cash. I get up. I didn't use the bathroom. I was there to count. I get up, run out, run to my pastor's office, knock on the door. He opens up, and I said, here's $800. He goes, no, Pastor, I know where you're at. You can't do this. I know you're struggling right now. I said, no. So you don't get it. I got the revelation. I've opened the windows of heaven over our life. I just put a $100 bill when I only had 120. And now God's already beginning to teach me a lesson that man came. I don't know if he came for the other 29, but he came for this one couple to figure out, wait a minute, I can trust God with everything, and I'm never going to cheat him again. Never. I gave it to him. Look, listen, this is not about money. It's about my heart. I want to be a giver, not a taker. I want those windows open. So whatever, listen, prosperity, I'm not a get rich guy. I'm not a name it, claim it. I don't believe you can drive by houses and go, I claim that house in the name of Jesus. And if that's you, we can talk later. All prosperity really means is that if I open the windows of heaven over my life, keep them open, God will get me what I need to accomplish what he's asked me to do. Much is given, much is required. And so we wanted always to position ourselves for God to bless us. Let me give you number four, because I really believe in the vision of our church. Reaching people, building lives. St. Landry Parish needed a church like this, or there wouldn't be a church like this here. This was not my idea, Pastor Jacob's idea, Tommy Badon's idea. The idea of this church was God's. He wanted a church here. It would have happened with Heidi and I or without Heidi or I. We just happened to be able to all be a part because God had a plan and he made you part of the plan. I didn't set up the economy. I'm going to bless my people. I'm going to give them a gift. They're going to produce. And when they do produce, I'm going to ask them, and they're going to trust me, and they're going to give a portion back so I can begin to trust them with even more. I can bless them again. And when I bless them again, then they can take a portion and they can give it. So I opens up the door so I can even bless them with more. And they're going to give a little bit of portion back to him. And then I'm going to bless them again. So I want to increase so that it could, this cycle could continue, so that we could be a blessing to our community. Are you seeing it? And then let me give you the last one, number five, because I want to one day hear God say, well done. Don't you? Well done. You did good. You did good. Do y'all receive this word today? Look at me. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. It's not about money. It's about a heart that trusts God. Can we give God all the praise? Thank him. I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray that same prayer over you. Father, I pray your blessings over your people. I want to pray that same prayer that strange pastor prayed. Lord, I pray that you would provide seed to the sower. I pray, Father, not that you change our pocketbooks, change our hearts, that we would see how the economy works, and that we would honor you with what comes into our hands, because it wasn't our hands, it was you. It was always you. And when the offering basket comes by, the tithe basket comes by, it's our opportunity to say thank you for everything you've blessed us with and provided for. It all came from you. And we break this poverty spirit over the region in which we live. It's the way our community's gotten, the way it's gotten. And so, Father, we ask that you would forgive us, and that poverty spirit would be broken in this very house, this very home. I pray over the extended lines of families represented in this house right now, Father, that have lived in poverty. We break it in the name of Jesus. That spirit in the name of the Lord. Father, we're a blessed people. Father, you're a good God. You bless us. You blessed us before we even deserved any blessing. You are blessing us from the beginning. And so, Father, we just honor you with the resources that come into our hands, because it's not a matter of resources. It's really a matter of our heart. We trust you. We're all in. Passion, commitment, sacrifice, ready. We're a walk-on. And so, Father, thank you. We receive your word today. We receive it. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity. For God so loved the world, he gave. From the beginning, he's been giving. He's a giver. He gave his only son that whosoever would believe in him, Jesus, not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. Today I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? I didn't say christened. I didn't say baptized, member of a church. Those are all good things. Have you been born again? I was born July 30th, 1965, born again the summer of 83. It only happens once in your life. Have you given your life to Jesus to be born again? Pastor, you, how do I get born again? It's easy as A, B, C. Admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Christ came to be the sin bearer, to pay your penalty, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame, and he died for it. He paid your sin price and mine. See, confess him as Lord and Savior. If that's you today and you want to be born again, I want to pray for you right now. All you need to do is slip your hand up high all over the room. Hold it up. Today I'm ready to be born again. Hold it up high. Hold it up high for me. Thank you. One and two. I'm looking in the room. Three. Thank you. Four and five. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Six and seven, eight, nine. Thank you, sir. 10. I'm looking. Thank you. Thank you. 11 and 12. Thank you. Thank you. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 hands. Congregation, let's add our voice to theirs. Let's pray together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me. so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God all the praise.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.